I am ready. Ready? Ready? I'm ready.
You
I'm ready
today.
Thanks. So do you.
Thanks. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where this week is a little chaotic because life.
Life. Literal life for me.
Literally.
I'm Mandy of the Inkridden Tribune.
And I am Karen of Denver General. Welcome back to the podcast.
I wonder where you went this week.
It's time for me to break Mandy's heart. In our timeline, it is October 18th. You'll note that that is a Wednesday, not a Thursday. And in y'all's timeline, it is October 27th. I am flying out to Tulsa tomorrow, so we could not record on Thursday.
No, we're recording a day early, which will be so nice tomorrow, but it's thrown me off so bad today.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what day it is. I have no idea.
My whole day feels off. So
yeah, I'm like, what is this life?
I brewed a cup of coffee at like 4:45 because I was like, nope,
you're like,
I'm not going to survive.
I'm done.
So if we're a little off our game, we're on brand.
Yeah, that's how we're supposed to be. It's fine.
This week in Fangirling, Mandy, tell me what you did.
I got a nephew. My
so
sister has
cute.
I'm sure by the time this episode airs, she will have posted about him, but she hasn't posted any photos, which means I can't, like, on my personal page.
Mm-hmm.
And it's killing me because I have so many cute ones. So I kept my niece for 3 days, 2 nights. I had a day with her and my mom on Monday where we went to like this little like Montessori play place that was so cute. It had like a cafe and a construction zone and a garage and all of these toys. And it was just like free play. She had
adorable.
So much fun.
Adorable.
It was so cute. We went to lunch. We went shopping. She and I made cupcakes for her mom to take to her mommy in the hospital and a gift for the baby so that she had like, I didn't want her to feel uncomfortable or like awkward walking into the room. So I wanted her to have like a little armor to carry
adorable.
In. So she carried her. Yeah. She carried her gift in front of her and I let her decorate the bag with stickers and she wrote him a card. In which she said, "You're my cutie for life. I know you'll be cute like a French fry and small like an apple."
I love her so much.
Yeah. So we got to bond. I got to keep her last night as the baby and her first night as the big sister. He's here and he's perfect. And I know I told you this, but I think the listeners will love this. My husband and I took her to dinner. Actually, it was like mommy was already in the hospital, but we were like waiting to get closer to push time before taking her to the waiting room. And one of us said, "Are you going to help with diapers?" And she goes, "Nope, that's a boy job." Yes, ma'am, it is. That's a boy job. I love her
so much.
You never know what you're going to expect with that little thing.
Oh, I know.
She's just a little firecracker.
Love her.
That's a boy job. She's smitten, as we all are. He's perfect. Mom and baby are healthy, happy. Everyone's great.
And he's already obsessed with his Mimi. I've seen the proof.
Oh, there
is
a
picture
where
Mimi
is looking at me like, "Oh, Mimi, I've been waiting."
He is looking at her so adoringly, like, "I love you." And it's perfection.
He was like an hour old. He was so squishy and cute. And his little face, like, it's just so soft.
That new baby smell.
I know. I know. Karen told me her ovaries were weeping when I sent her a video. And I was
like,
"It's
a trap. It's a trap.
Come here, sniff his head, get like all of those endorphins. And then you don't have to want one of your own. Just come smell him every now and then in a not
exactly
way."
Anybody who has been around a newborn understands
they
the new
know.
Baby smell.
It's not
creepy.
This is addictive. It's like there's not a high like it.
It is. It really is.
Ugh. And he's got a little bit of hair. So like, it's fuzzy baby smell.
Ugh. I'm obsessed.
So I've been doing a lot of home improvement stuff lately. And this weekend I replaced these awful blinds in my house that were like they did white blinds throughout the rest of the house. But in this one primary bedroom, they did these brown wicker things that were awful. And it was like a 3 hour long adventure to get those out because of the way that the previous owners who lived here installed them. Half the screws were stripped. I had to like mangle the whole window. Josh had to come out and help. It was awful. But while I was doing that, I kept my stress level down. It's out now, I think, but I had an advanced audio copy from Libro of Wildfire by Hannah Grace. So it's the same world as Icebreaker. I haven't read Icebreaker yet, and there weren't any notable, like, I'm sure there were cameos,
Yeah, there was something,
but
but you just don't know.
there wasn't, it wasn't notable enough like I did with the Fury where I ruined it for myself. Like there
Yeah.
was no, oh, this is a couple and it's very, you know,
Yeah.
here's a little tidbit of their story. And I think that this is my first sports romance.
Oh.
I like watching the New York Giants. I like listening, like hearing about Georgia Tech. I like when anyone beats the University of Georgia at anything. And I like when anybody beats the Falcons
I also like when
or the
anybody beats the
Saints.
Falcons
I like when
or the
anybody beats the
Saints.
Saints too. Like, yes, go
I feel
team.
like everybody likes it when people, other than Saints fans, everybody likes it when somebody beats the Saints.
Yeah, for sure. But like, I'm not like, I pay attention to the Giants, which hasn't done me well for like 15 years now, but I digress. Oh, anybody who beats the Cowboys too.
Oh, yeah,
Go team.
agreed.
Go team. But I wouldn't, and I used to, when I was in high school, for real, I would like, my dad had SiriusXM in his car and I would drive around and listen to hockey games. Like I love a hockey game. I would
Oh.
listen to hockey, but I wouldn't consider myself a sports girly. So do with
That's
that what you
fair.
will. This was not the sport. It's a sports book, but it's not like there's not any sports in it. It's just a hockey player. So
He just happens to be sport adjacent.
yeah, like he lives in a, he's a hockey player at Maple Hills University or college or whatever. He's on the team with a bunch of other guys, obviously, and they all live in a house together.
Okay.
That's it. So we have two students, Russ Callahan and Aurora Roberts, who both end up at this like end of the school year mixer at Maple Hills, which is the college that they both attend. They have this little meet cute where she's looking for a glass because she's like, I'm not drinking out of these nasty looking Solo cups. They look like they've been used.
Yeah.
Like they're sticky, whatever. So they have a little meet cute about her stealing the glasses in his house. And then like a community drinking game leads them upstairs to Russ's
Oh.
room and a very steamy one night stand. Due to a little miscommunication, which I freaking hate. Do not like a miscommunication trope. Just say what you mean. Rory leaves Russ's room before he can even like get her last name. And since it's the end of the school year, everybody's going their separate ways for summer. Both Aurora and Russ have really shitty home lives. So Aurora's father owns like a, it's like the little cars, like the, not like NASCAR, but like the little racing cars. Formula
Okay,
One.
I have
I
no
think it's
idea.
Formula One. You
Where's
can picture
Caroline?
them though. Yeah. It's like a small racing car, but it's like very profitable in that realm, I guess. Like people care about it. I'm not one of them, but like it is, he's very, very wealthy and he cares. He only has eyes for his girlfriend and her kids. So his
Ooh.
two daughters, like he's legally obligated to pay for college, legally obligated to give them their trust funds, part of her parents' divorce when they're of a certain age. Past that, she's dying for his attention, but he could not care less about her. And then Russ has a dad who has a gambling addiction, and the only time he can look away from, I think it's horses, is to call Russ to ask for more money. And when Russ doesn't immediately send $50 or $100, you're worthless. What kind of a son are you? I can't even imagine, I can't even believe that you would leave your father needing money like this. And then the cycle continues. If he sends money, doesn't hear from dad until he's out of money, and then it's never ending. So both main characters need an escape. So they're both super surprised to meet again on the first day of the kids' summer camp where they're both working as counselors.
Why do I love that so much?
I know. Aurora practically grew up at this camp. Like one of the counselors is one of her best friends and also kind of like a maternal figure to her because she went there every summer to get away from the life of parents who are too wealthy to really care. Her mom really cares, but her mom has a weird, smothery way of showing it that's off-putting. But you, mom, we like mom. Mom is cool. And Russ is a newbie. He's just trying to get somewhere where his dad isn't going to be able to
Get to
contact
him.
him. Yeah, he's like, I camp out in the middle of nowhere with little to no cell service. Sign me up. Unfortunately for both of them, camp has a very strict no fraternization rule when it comes to summer flings, which to be fair is a good rule at a camp full of children.
Yes, it is.
Like that's a, like I support this
It's a
rule.
solid rule. It's a solid rule.
Yeah, but they can not exactly deny their attraction to each other. We know where it's gonna go. I enjoyed it. It wasn't like a groundbreaking next American novel, next great American novel. Writing wasn't gonna change the world, but it was a good way to pass the time while I was cleaning my house and doing whatever. Like I don't know that I would reread it because I don't reread often, but I would recommend people read it if they like sports romances, rom-coms, all of that. And it was Teddy Hamilton. And Lauren Sweet was Rory. Yeah,
sold.
Libro sends out like their monthly, these are the ALCs for this month. And I just saw his name and I was like, well, I don't have time to read Icebreaker, but I'll read this because I'll listen to this because Teddy Hamilton is here. And yes, we love him.
We love Teddy Hamilton. Sold.
And then the only other thing I did other than because I've had a 4-year-old and then been visiting my new little squish is I started Ruthless Vows by Rebecca Ross. So it picks up 2 weeks after the end of Divine Rivals. Iris is back in Oath while Roman is not. The battle between the gods, Dakra and, oh my gosh, Enva. I wrote Eva or autocorrect made it Eva, but it's Enva continues. So Dakra is like an underling god of like the darkness and she is a god of music. They are married, but it's kind of he tricked her into marriage, wanting her to come to his realm and she sung him to eternal sleep basically. But now they are both awake. Like the gods are awakening and he's pissed.
Okay.
Yeah. So the battle continues. Iris and Addie are once again given the chance to head to the front lines to report on Dakra's movements. And of course, they jump at the chance, mostly for Iris, because she wants to get some answers about Roman. He has lost his memories for spoiler reasons, and he begins to report on Dakra as well. Suddenly, he receives a strange letter, seemingly through his typewriter, which was the premise of Divine Rivals. And he's intrigued enough to write back, even though he's not sure who the mysterious E is that's writing to him. I'm not going to lie, I have very, 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 very high level of anxiety where I am in this book right now. I have a couple of hours left and I haven't been able to touch it for a few days because of anti-life, but I'm like, I considered taking additional time off this week to finish this book. I'm so like stressed and it's in such a good way.
Patrons will notice how like she started shaking with anxiety.
Like I really am. I'm so
really literally
out.
Is.
And it's not, she's got such a way with writing that it's not that it's overly, there's a million things going on right now and you can't keep up and it's just the characters you can feel are coming into something that could be so precarious that you're just like, I am so scared for you and what could happen, like all of the things that could go wrong and I hope everything goes right. And so I'm stressed. I'm not doing good about it. But it's perfect. Like the story has been perfect so far, even with bad things that happen. But can't wait to finish. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow since we're not recording. I'm going to just lay on my couch and finish this book. But that was my week. Well, it's lots of waiting and baby snuggles and 4-year-old snuggles and being a Mimi. What did week. You do this week? It was a great week. Even with all the sleep deprivation that comes with sharing a bed with a 4-year-old.
Yep.
And being up until 2 a.m. waiting for a baby to come out.
I remember those times.
Tell me about your week.
I deep cleaned the bedroom. There are no
you
longer.
You sure did.
I sent Mandy a picture. There are no longer. Okay. This is a lie. There are still doom piles, but they are organized doom piles.
Nice chaos.
Out of the way. So I'm not having to shift things and move things around and climb over things to get to my desk anymore. There is a direct path to the desk and to the bed. And that's all I need. I'm fine. Hey. So we're good. I can see my floor. It's wonderful. I did also read quite a bit, starting with The Fake Mate by Lana Ferguson, which you
that's
have talked
one.
About. It's excellent. We've got Noah and Mackenzie, who are both doctors at Denver General. Due to her grandmother's meddling... Is meddling,
meddling
a good word?
It's meddling, yeah.
Meddling's a good word. Due to Mackenzie's grandmother's meddling, she blurts out that she has found a partner and then blurts out the first name that comes to mind, which is Noah's. And Noah is the grumpy cardiologist at Denver General. He's like the big bad wolf. And Noah is
blue-eyed Adam Driver.
Noah is also an alpha and has kept that a secret. And somebody recently sent in an anonymous tip to the board saying that he is an alpha and he is freaking out because that could lose him his job potentially due to discrimination reasons.
That person is also a narc.
Yeah. F him.
Narc.
So when Mac is like, hey, can you pretend to be my boyfriend so my grandmother will stop setting me up on dates? Noah's like, actually, can you pretend to be my mate so the board won't fire me?
This could be mutually beneficial.
And it's fake dating, it's grumpy sunshine,
It's everything.
it's wonderful, it's delicious, it's Lana Ferguson. I really don't need to say more. Perfection.
No.
Next up, I read The Scarlet Alchemist by Kylie Leigh Baker. This is the first book in a new duology. It is an alternate history set during the Tang Dynasty, in which China actually discovers alchemy. Like they during the Tang Dynasty, emperors were trying to find an alchemical solution for essentially immortality. And in this alternate history, they do that.
They find it.
And so we've got the first, I want to say first and only, but don't quote me on that because I can't remember. But the Empress, Wu Zetian, is now immortal and has been sitting on the throne. And we've got our main character, whose name is escaping me at the moment. I don't have notes, y'all. I have a list of books that I've read, so I don't have notes. Yes, you do have it.
I'm trying to find it so I can help you. I don't know why I thought you've read this before.
It just came out, and I just hadn't had the time until now. But our main character,
Zilan?
oh, Zilan,
Zilan?
yeah. She is essentially, she is an orphaned girl who is living with her aunt and her cousins, aunt and uncle and her cousins, and she is dreaming of becoming a royal alchemist. And so her and her cousins are preparing to take an imperial exam. They're gonna try and be scholars in the capital. She's gonna try and be a royal alchemist in the capital so that they can send money back to, aunt and uncle and make sure their poor life is uplifted.
Right, fixed, yeah.
And for spoilery reasons, she does end up getting to the capital and things happen and I don't really know what to say about it without giving too many spoilers, but it is filled with like political intrigue and a bit of romance and family ties and magic and lots of really great goodness. Zilan is able to use alchemy, illegal alchemy, to resurrect people. So nobody really knows that, or nobody should know that because, again, it's illegal. But the prince has heard of her and requests her assistance with resurrecting somebody. However, the person that he wants her to resurrect is himself because he has an inkling that something may be coming. And
Oh, so he's not a ghost.
as I said, political intrigue and politics and things like that. So yeah, it's really good. And I'm very anxious to read the next book. I don't want to say it doesn't end on a cliffhanger because there is more to the story, but it's not one of those like this story has been wrapped up, but there is a continuation. There's a new thread that can be pulled from this
Okay.
story. You know what I
So
mean?
it's not like, how dare you? How can I live? Yeah. Okay.
Something heartbreaking happens near the end, and there is a very difficult decision to be made, and I'm reeling from it. I did not
Oh.
expect it to go the way it did. So I'm hoping that book two will kind of
Clear the air.
clear the air, soften the blow, anything. So yes, it's very good. I loved it. Next up, I read Snowed In for Christmas by Jacqueline Snow, which honestly, if that's going to be your debut novel, that's an excellent last name to have.
Yeah.
You have got the very, very much sunshine in a bottle sorority mom, Becca Fairfield, who has been on many, many dates, and all
Many,
of
many.
the many, many, many dates. And they all have this thing in common where they just think that she's too much, she's too quirky, she's too blonde. She
No such thing.
her job is just she's a glorified babysitter, kind of that kind of stuff, and people tend to judge her before they actually get to know her.
I hate that.
However, she did go on an excellent first date with the other main character, Harrison, Sorry, took me a second there.
Hey, at least you remembered his name.
Took me a second. Who is also her next door neighbor. His house is next door to the sorority house. He is also the football coach of the college or university that they are at. And they have an excellent first date. They have a very steamy kiss. And then dude ghosts her. And for 2 years, he essentially just like avoids her anytime he sees her around campus. And weird. She's like, what the hell? Like, everything what seemed I fine do. On my end. And for reasons that we find out as the story progresses, he had his reasons, but also he's an idiot because he's a man. But they are in, I want to say, like, Illinois, and it is the holidays, obviously, and all the girls in the house have gone home for the holidays. Becca is alone in the sorority house by herself, and there's a blizzard coming through, and so she's like, it's fine, I've got my books, I've got my hot cocoa, I'm battening down the hatches, and I'm solid for the next 2 weeks until the girls come back.
Yeah.
She greatly underestimates the severity of this blizzard, and when the power goes out, Harrison essentially barges over to the sorority house and is like, listen, you can't stay here. You don't have firewood. You don't have electricity. You are not prepared for this. Come and stay with me. I have enough wood to last us months. And Becca begrudgingly agrees because otherwise she's gonna freeze to death. And as can be expected, things start to heat up, and not just because of a fire. And it is, you know, it is a friends with benefits, forced proximity kind of story. And it's cute. It's good. It does feel a little like, I say forced proximity, but it also just kind of feels like forced into a relationship. Like, I think what hurt the story for me was that it's in dual POV. So we see both of their POVs, and they're both having this internal like dialogue with themselves about like, 2 years ago, we had this first date, and 2 years ago, we had this kiss, and they keep bringing it up, but we never get any flashbacks. And I feel like the story would have
experiencing that moment.
Yeah, I feel like the story would have benefited from flashbacks instead of just them repeatedly being like, well, it was a great date and it was a great kiss, but then such and such, you know? So
right.
I think that made it so that when they do, you know, end up doing things, it feels like it's rushed and forced.
Like, because you don't have that history.
Yeah, like,
you don't feel it.
Exactly. Like, you understand that there's history, so it makes sense, but you don't feel it. And so it just is a little bit awkward. But, you know, it was a good time. There are small children who are adorable later on in the book. And it's so cute. And yeah, it was a good time. It was like, it's a decent read. And I probably, like, if I'm sitting around and feeling like I need something cozy and holiday-esque, like, it's on my shelf, I'll grab it, like, flip through it, you know, read it a little bit. But like, you know, it's not terrible. It's not. But like you said,
with Wildfire. Yeah.
Not the next great American novel, but it was a good time. I read Night of the Witch by Sarah Roche and Beth Revis. I know you talked about this before, and it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah,
it doesn't like you said, I think I just had high expectations for it.
Mm-hmm. The story, it was too close to Serpent and Dove for me.
Yeah, it just.
And not without changing enough.
It's fine. I will continue to read the series, however many books that is, because I feel like it's going to go up. Like, it's going to,
I said that in my review. Yeah. Like, I hope that they will grow. I think they will grow as authors.
Yeah. I don't think that there's, I think it was just, I don't know how to explain it, but I definitely think like there's a world there and there's a story there that can be told well. And I think they just need to continue developing that. And so,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next.
Yeah, me too.
I read a middle grade book called 1, 2, 3, 4, I Declare a Thumb War by Lissy Harrison and Daniel Krauss. This is the first book in a series of which my daughter has the second book as a arc, which is why I had to read the first book.
Aww.
But it's cute. It follows this group of girls who, like, they have sleepovers and they, like, tell each other ghost stories and just try, generally just, like, you know, try and be, like, spooky together. Aww. And they live in this town town where there's like this ancient story, but it's like a real life event that happened where this guy like murdered somebody and chopped off their leg and was like, because he didn't have a leg, I can't even remember, but he was like, this is how I'm gonna blah blah blah. And then there's this other girl who is not part of the group, and I'm sorry, I don't remember any of these people's names.
It's fine.
But there's another girl who is not part of the group, but she's like friends with like the popular girls, but she like really wants to be a part of the group, and so she's like trying to worm her way in like a cute way, not in like a, you know, like she's being weird and
yeah,
trying to squirm in. She like legitimately is like, I am kind of like more of a spooky person, but like the people that I'm around, they don't really understand that, and but like these groups of girls, I think we would have a good time. And so yeah, it's cute. I can't totally remember how it ends, but it does end in a way that the next, but like I feel like it leads directly into the next book. So
okay,
I will report back once I read
that. Yes, please do.
Next up, I read Plan A by Deb Colletti. This one was about a girl who is 16 and she discovers that she's pregnant, and she lives in a small town that is very religious and conservative. And however, her mother is not such. They're in Ohio. Her mother is originally from Oregon. And so the first thing she does, or the first person she tells, is her boyfriend. And then he's like, whatever you need, whatever you decide, we'll do it together. Whether it's to not have the baby or whatever. And she's like, I'm not having a baby. I'm 16. I'm not having a baby. And he's like, you have to tell your mom. And she's like, I know, but I had to tell you first. And I'm like, okay. That's actually kind of adorable.
Yeah.
And so she tells her mom, and her mom is like, okay, what do you, and so they plan out essentially what's going to happen. And as the story progresses, we find out more details as to how she got pregnant. I'm not going to go into it too much, but suffice it to say, it is not her boyfriend's, and she is a virgin at the time that she gets pregnant. And it is not a paranormal kind of thing, but it is...
Like Jane the Virgin?
Not Jane the Virgin type of thing, because that whole idea is insane. Good Lord. How terrifying would that be?
Right.
But yeah, so her and her boyfriend plan out this whole trip to drive to Oregon to have the procedure done. And he knows that she's like a dreamer. She dreams of traveling the world and doing all of this like stuff with her life, which obviously she wouldn't be able to do if she has a baby at 16. So in planning this trip, he pulls out a physical map, first of all, and goes through and finds places like, they live in Paris, Texas. Or no, is it Texas? I don't know. Paris, but not like, you know. And so he finds places like, there's a city in somewhere that's in the US called Moscow. There's a Lima. There's, you know, he finds all of those cities that would be like around the world, but they're in the US, and they make those stops on their path. So like, even though they're going to do something that is traumatic, he's trying to, you know, make her comfortable, and it's so sweet. Like, he is so, so sweet. His name is Lorenzo, and we love him. And so it's this journey about her, you know, it's her making this journey, and it's a story about choice, and it's a story about, you know, being able to make decisions that are the right ones for yourself. Yeah, and not having to put up with something just because society says it's one way. And it is tough at times because of the subject matter, obviously. And I will say that I don't remember if it came with content warnings. I do think that it should include some content warnings. Obviously, abortion, there is... It is sexual assault, but not in the way that you like think of assault. Because assault feels like violent, like, you know, and in my mind, I didn't see it as like aggressively violent, but I do think that it's still a sexual assault. So that is something to be wary of. Obviously, teenage pregnancy and the whole bullying and religious aspect of a teenage pregnancy. crazy. So yeah, but it was really good. I wasn't sure what to expect going into it, but I ended up really loving it. And I loved like her and her mom and her little brother and Lorenzo, and it was and like her whole family, like she they stop along the way to like various family members, and her whole family was like. And another thing that I really liked that she included was that once you're I don't remember the exact line, but it's like once you're in this situation, you become a part of a community that is not often talked about, that doesn't often have a voice. And she kind of collects stories along the way of women who have been not in the same situation, but have had a situation that could be similar. And, you know, they said something like one in four women have had an abortion, and this like shocks her. And as they're going on this journey, she starts to realize like, oh shit, like that's not just a statistics. That's like legitimately something that happens. So it was really good. I can see this book unfortunately being challenged or banned in more conservative
Of
places,
course, it'll be
you
banned
know,
here where I am.
but it's excellent. I really loved it. And the last thing that I read was Faking with Benefits by Lily Gold. This is a fake dating contemporary friends with benefits, why choose romance? And it follows a girl who has been on 120 dates, first dates, and has never had a second date, has never had a boyfriend, and doesn't know what she's doing wrong. And she's very much the kind of person who is like, I need checklists for everything in my life. And she treats dating like it's something to like check off a list, finding a husband, having kids, that kind of thing. And after a particularly bad date in which her date climbs out of the bathroom window at the restaurant, her neighbor and best friend swoops in and, you know, saves her, and they go out drinking. And she gets really drunk, and she's like, goes back to the apartment. You know, they go home, and she goes into the apartment with them, and she's like emotional. And his roommates are there, and they're all friends. And she's just like, you guys, I need you to teach me how to date, because these three guys have a podcast that is dating advice,
Oh
and
my
relationship
gosh.
advice. And she's like, you guys have to teach me. And so, and then she breaks down crying, and they're like, we can't do that. And then she leaves, and then they're like, oh no, we made her cry. And the next morning, she's mortified because she was like, oh no.
I was drunk.
But due to some struggling viewership and a competing podcast, the guys are like, you know what? We could turn this into a segment. We'll fake date her and give her relationship advice, and she'll come on the podcast, and you know, we'll turn her into somebody who is dateable, essentially. And you know, with fake dating, we know what happens.
Oh,
And
everybody starts catching feelings.
it's you know, stuff happens. It is a little, there are a little like heavier parts of it, but essentially it is a contemporary romance, just with three men instead of one.
I can't do like no judgment to anybody. I can't do a white shoes. I'm too like team Jacob, or team whatever. I feel like I have to have my team.
That's fair. No, I've been on a why choose like kick recently, so it is what it is. But yeah,
No judgment.
that was what I read this week. I did watch a quick like I don't know, like an interview on TV. It was I think it was like Live with Kelly and Mark, where Constance Wu was talking, and I'm bringing this up because she said something that I wrote down because I was like, this is so poignant. And she said, making a mistake is part of the bigger journey of becoming better at what you do. And I was just like, what? So I just wanted to share that little nugget of wisdom with everybody.
She's a genius, that one.
I love her. So that was
That
my week.
was a good week. Do you want to tell me your fictional boyfriend of the week?
I would if I had written one down, because I'm dumb. You know what? I'm gonna go with Noah Taylor because
Blue-eyed Adam Driver.
we love us. We love some Lana Ferguson boys. I'm
She knows how to write them.
There's nothing like a man written by a woman. I'm sorry. They're excellent. And Lana knows what she's doing, that girl.
Yes, she does.
I Love me some grumpy Noah Taylor. Yeah,
good
choice.
That'll
be my fictional boyfriend this week. I do, you know what? Also, Lorenzo from Plan A.
I thought it was going to be Lorenzo. Yeah.
I had to look at my notes and be like, what did I read this week? Even though I just talked about it.
Did I read any books?
Lorenzo is the epitome of a fictional man written by a woman. Like, the sweetest human being. And he's like 18, okay? The sweetest human being. He is, not once does he force her to do anything that he wants. He gets angry when other people are trying to enforce their views on her. He gets angry when people are like, you are, you know, a murderer or all this bullshit. He doesn't let anybody's opinion of him cloud his judgment. He doesn't let anybody's opinion of him get to him. He stands by her, even though he like knows the baby's not his and he doesn't have to be there. He lets people believe that the baby is his, even though, you know, that it's not. And he's just like, I am here for you no matter what. And this perfection.
Baby angel.
Sweetest ever. I adored him. Yeah. So there you go.
It's a good one.
How about you? I think I know, but how about you?
I'm still stuck with Roman Kit because I'm freaking obsessed with him. God almighty. He is still wonderful, even having limited access to memories. I love that vibe. I know I've talked about it before where it's like the 40s vibe of like the trousers with your suspenders and your vest and your overcoat, and you got to make sure you have your hat, and like, I love the whole aesthetic of this book. But then I also love Tobias Bexley, who's also he's a new character in Ruthless Vows. He's a roadster racer, so he's got like what we would call convertible cars, and he's like a very talented, very frequent winner of these races. But because of the war, he is a driver, couriering. He's a courier of full goods correspondence across the country, just back and forth on roads that are more treacherous than traditional lorries could go and take, conditions that are not so great. He's a brave, sweet baby angel. He meets Iris and Addie, and immediately he's like, if anything happens to me and if I don't show up, I need you to go as fast as you can and get to safety. Like, do not ever for a single second stop to think of me. I cannot have that. You have to get yourself out no matter what. And he started, I don't really think this is spoilery because it's like side characters that you don't see very often. He's kind of like flirting with Addie and I'm obsessed with them. And he's just, oh, he's so brave and sweet little baby angel. And I just love him. So
I love him,
Roman
already.
And Tobias. Yes. Little angels.
Perfection.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I'm in Ruthless Vows world right now, so
love it. And that sound means we have an intruder alert.
An intruder.
I don't know if we can call you an intruder anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you've been here enough times. But for anybody who is not on Patreon and can't see, we have with us Amber D. Lewis, our darling, our love, to talk about the last book. The last one in the Starlight
I'm
saga.
I'm not ready.
How
for
are
it.
We here already?
I don't know. I feel like I just read The Night the Stars Fell.
It's only been 3 years. I wrote this entire series. Like, I started writing the first book in August of 2020, and the last book comes out on November 21st of 2023, and the first book came out on November 23rd of 2021. That was totally unintentional.
That's crazy. Happened
to work that way, but it did. So it's almost exactly 2 years from the release of the first book to the release of the last,
listen,
the last one.
Thank you for not making us wait a year between each book, because I don't think I could have survived it. I really don't.
It feels like it's been so much longer, but you're right. It's not.
Yeah, it's like the whole thing was written and edited and all done in pretty quick time. It helped that the last two books were originally one, and but there was kind of like a weak plot point, so I ended up cutting it off and adding a lot more. There's a lot more added to the fourth book that wasn't originally in it, but I already had about half of it written and already started editing it before the third book actually went to my editor and everything. So that did help to lessen the gap a little. Plus, it also helps that I did the novellas in between each book, so you didn't have to wait quite as long because you had those little
That is true. We always had a book to look forward to. Yeah, yes. We always had something
coming
that
up
was like,
soon.
This is coming really soon. I can handle
I can
it.
Taste it.
Now I can't handle it anymore.
It's over.
So there is stuff still coming out on Patreon.
That's true.
I already
That's
have,
why
like,
I'm there.
a few stories already planned out to like January or February. So
if
I've got
you're
at least
not
that much extra
on
content.
Amber's Patreon, it's time to sign up. Because
this is your warning. This is your chance.
You don't want to miss out.
It's well, I'm a patron and it is well worth it. Okay.
Yes.
I look forward to every week, my little email telling me what's new, and then my goodies every month. I should have pulled them out. They're in a cup over here.
I just moved.
That's
mine
funny because
I
actually have a cup over here with the stickers and stuff. That's what I keep doing. This is like a
little out of reach.
I just had them like right here on the shelf, but I just cleaned this past week, so they got moved over there somewhere. So just out of reach.
It's all like on a little shelf right here.
I love it.
I love that you're okay. So I guess first we should say, for anybody who hasn't gotten to this point yet, or obviously they haven't read it like we have, but can you give us like a spoiler-free elevator pitch for this story?
For the last book, it's just the culmination of everything and kind of the battle for who is going to come out on top. And it's not an easy battle. It's a lot of uphill fighting, and the poor characters have been through a lot. In this book is them kind of coming to terms with everything that's happened in order to deal with the final battle.
Yeah, there's a lot of heartbreak in this one.
It really is.
There's
I cried
a little,
and cried.
There was so much crying.
Buckle
much
up,
crying.
Listeners. So something that I really love is that like it seems like your whole family has a hand in this story, whether it's you writing or your partner and your kid doing art. Like, I just think that is so freaking cool. So have they read it to know that, or you just give them bits and pieces of what you want?
I give them these horrible little sketches of like stick figures, and I'm like, I need you to turn this into something. my partner has read the first two books, and they're currently reading through the third book. And then there have been other things where I'm like, here, read this scene completely out of context, draw it, and then they draw it, and I'm like, no, that's wrong, redraw it. And my kid has not read them yet because they're only 12.
Yeah,
so some of the
that's
content
true.
I just kind of give them the descriptions, and then
they do a good job.
Sometimes inconsistent because I have two different artists at two different skill levels, and my kid is actually a little more artistically talented than my partner because she's had more formal training. But yeah, so they do a
she
lot
does
of
a
artwork.
Great job.
They both do.
Yeah,
they're
very, very talented.
Yeah.
I love to see it.
It's fun seeing all of the cute artwork that comes out of your family. Like,
and becoming a family affair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
really,
great
really cool.
Because it's a story of found family.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Okay. So everything I want to ask is spoilery.
I know. I'm like, how do I ask a question that doesn't give away what happens in this book?
Oh.
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
It's also very hard to market the fourth book in the series because, like, it's very, like, even, like, the relationship, even though there are, like, lots of clues throughout the series, like, people are shipping people in the first and second book, and even though those relationships might come to pass, and it's kind of obvious that it's being set up that way, like, it's still a huge spoiler to let you know who gets together and who doesn't.
Yeah, because I had a ship from book one that didn't come to pass, and I can't say. Dang it. Do you have a specific scene, and you don't have to get like, you don't have to get specific in describing it, but that was the most difficult to write out of the entire series?
It's the scene you think it is.
Yeah.
It's the major,
the big one.
There's a major death scene in the final book, and that scene was extremely, in fact, that scene, like every time I would write it and have to go back and edit it, like I just like had to take like a full day's break afterwards because it was so emotionally devastating to me. And it does not help that I have like a playlist going that like adds to that emotion. And so like whenever I would be coming up to that scene, even in edits, I would have to like plan out a day where I would just focus on just that scene, because it was just that, because it's not really just one scene, it's kind of like a domino effect.
Yeah.
And once that first domino knocks over, there are just several very emotional parts, and it was just that whole bit.
Yeah.
And then also up there is the character that just kind of goes through all the depression and stuff like that. Those scenes were really hard to write too. They were just very emotionally draining scenes that I literally would have to prepare myself for every time I would go in to like rework it or edit it or anything like that.
So you mentioned you have plot playlists going, and this is a question that I can ask, this not spoilery. How do you find a playlist for I'm going to kill off a character today? Like, what do you type in the Spotify that's like character death today with my coffee?
Well, on my website, I actually have my playlist all listed. Yeah. And I have one for like each book, but then I also have them broken down for each character. And so like as I would go through, like some of the songs are ones that I think that they would just listen to, like to, just mm-hmm. their overall vibe. And then there are other ones that fit their specific plot point. And so like when I would be writing those scenes, I would be listening to the playlist for those characters
for them,
and so it just very much put me in their mood, their mindset, and it flows along with just the general plot, and it's just this whole emotional thing.
So speaking of the characters, like is there anyone that I know that you've talked about this before where some characters ended up doing things that you didn't expect them to do, but is there one particular character or any particular characters that from the beginning you were like, this is their role and this is what's going to happen, and then it just went off the rails?
Well, the thing is I don't really plan that far ahead. I'm very much a pantser, so I'm very much in the moment. So, like, other than, like, the occasional, like, little minor plot points, most of them stayed mostly on track for where I thought that they would go, but that's because I didn't think that far ahead as far as the whole plot went. Though I will say that there were characters that were supposed to die that didn't, because different things in the plot changed and they ended up being saved.
Was the final other characters the final outcome,
I need you to post that in Patreon or DM to us who was spared, because now I want to, like, the she who must not be named almost killed off Ron Weasley, and I would have never forgiven her, or Arthur Weasley.
I don't think you would have liked who I would have killed, but like I think it would have been an understandable plot point. Let's just put it that way.
Okay? I read both endings, okay.
I want to
have had me real triggered.
I know that you've said that the ending you've had since the beginning, right? You knew how it was going to end up. How much of that, like, did any of that change dramatically, or like the final outcome has always just been the final outcome? You just couple of tweaks.
The last line was set in stone pretty much from about the middle of the first book. Like when I went ahead and like wrote the epilogue, and that last paragraph, like the last leading up to the last line, that was pretty much always going to be it. But like the details in the epilogue changed, because in the epilogue, this isn't spoilery, I just kind of give a recap of what happened to everyone that you don't see, just kind of like, you know, this is where everyone ended up. And so some of those details obviously changed, because like some of those characters hadn't even been invented yet. They hadn't even been given life. So those like minor details changed, but like that last paragraph, like the essence of the epilogue, like even in, there are two endings to the book, and even in those two epilogues, they're basically the same, except for one minor detail, one major detail.
I freaking love that you do that wrap up though, because Karen and I both read a book last week where there's a character that never finds out like what happened about something, like they you know they are going to live and die with zero knowledge and this mystery hanging over them forever, and it is so awful and upsetting.
And so I'm so glad. That. I wanted everything tied up with a nice, neat little bow. So anything I did not cover in the book, I threw in that epilogue.
And to be fair to the author, there was no way at all to fix it.
There wasn't a way to revisit it.
There was no way.
There was no way to go back and be like, let me clear your minds. Let me... give you some
just
peace.
The way
the story
the way
went.
Things fall it was impossible to do, but it was so upsetting, and I'd still like I'm
heartbroken.
Like, so I am so thankful to have an epilogue that is like, this person went here, they went there, then this
I covered it all.
Yes, and I freaking live for that.
Yes,
I really do. It's so appreciated. Yeah. So what did it feel like writing those last words and like knowing I'm done writing this series?
Well, okay. So like I said, it was originally split. It was one book and I split it. Mm-hmm. And when I originally wrote it, because it was part of the third book, it had a POV of a character that didn't really fit with the fourth book, because in the third book, you get point of view chapters for Jess, but she's not in the fourth book as much, so it didn't really make sense to carry over her chapters. So when I had to go back and rework the fourth book, I had to figure out how I was still going to show like what was going on other places,
because
I still needed that other point of view. And so I had to take out all of her chapters and I added in Rodin's chapters, which I had a lot of self-doubt about, but it seems like everyone's part, so it worked out really well. But towards the end of the original draft, the last few chapters were mostly Jess chapters. And so I ended up pulling those out. And then I went in and I wrote the Ronan chapters. And so when I got to the end of writing, like where Ronan's chapters end, and then you get the final chapters that are currently in the book, it was just suddenly done because I had already written the end. I had already written.
You didn't have time to prep for it.
Oh, yeah.
And I just kind of got to the end of the last Ronan chapter and I was like, this is it. I don't need to write anymore because I don't have to show Jess's point of view of these events. I don't have to, like, it was done because her story didn't need to be wrapped up. So I just kind of literally got to the end of that chapter and like went to write, like opened up a new page for the next chapter and then was like, there's nothing to write. It's done. So it just kind of like,
it snuck up on you.
Yeah, it did. And I just kind of stared at my computer screen for a while. Like
it kind of sounds like it was like anticlimactic. Like you were prepared to like dive into the end and then it just stopped.
Yeah. Kind of like on a roller coaster where you think there's one more turn and then it's not. You're pulling into the station.
And you're like,
it was just over.
What happened?
Yeah. So yeah, it was a very abrupt end.
So what comes next? Like, I know you've said that you obviously you're going to continue writing. You have more ideas.
I will force you.
But do you know what's going to be your next project after, you know, November, after, or even now, since you're done with it, like what comes next?
In theory, I have like four works in progress that are all over halfway finished. I just need to focus on one. The one that I thought was going to be the next thing is another high fantasy, and it has like a marriage of convenience in it, and like the magic is dying out and they have to marry to like strengthen the bloodline, and the only person that can strengthen the bloodline is like basically like a peasant type person who has to marry the prince, and like they just don't get along, and then there's of course a morally gray assassin in there, and like it's coming along nicely, but I just kind of got bored with it. Like I just kind of got to like one of those spots where I need like a filler chapter to get to the next like plot point. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of need to push past that point. But that was going to be the next one. Mm-hmm. I just need to find the motivation to finish it and leave the other works in progress that I have going like alone.
Amber, I need it. It's not in my inbox yet. I'm like, hold on.
This is legitimately very
not
big.
Here.
And then I was not going to do a spinoff for like the Fire and Starlight saga. Like I was not gonna do it. And like I figured if I ever did one, it would be like 500 years in the future, and it would be like a modern day thing, like, you know, kind of like a Crescent City type thing, but not really, but like, you know, modern times. But then I had this idea that would take place like 10 to 15 years after the end of the final book, that
I
would
can't read.
follow like some of the minor characters, and like I can't get it out of my head. So I think it's gonna be my NaNoWriMo project, which I will say this, I have never not once finished a NaNoWriMo project. But it's in my head, and I figured
but
I might
now
as well
you
quit.
Will, because otherwise we're gonna come find you and force you to.
Look, just because you don't finish it in November is fine. I started a NaNoWriMo project in a summer camp July NaNoWriMo, and I'm still working on it. But guess what's about to start?
NaNoWriMo. Oh my God.
Well, we'll see. It may pan out. It may be nothing. I don't know if it'll be like another full series or if it'll end up being a standalone, but the idea is in my head, and I feel like I at least need to try to write it.
Yeah.
See. And it follows some very minor characters from the series. So just because like there are some minor characters that just like, I feel like they have more adventures ahead of them. And I think I need to explore.
I think that I have somebody that needs a story, and I hope that this is part of what is going through your mind. I'm not going to say more because I feel like, I don't know. I feel like anything I say could be a spoiler, so I don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
But I have hopes for a specific person, and that's all I'll say.
You'll have to let me know who it is, because I just want to see it's actually three people that it would follow. Three very minor characters.
I want more from Mara. I always liked her.
How minor?
I felt kind of bad. She didn't get enough page time in the book.
Yeah.
I liked her.
It was like, honestly, I'm not going to lie, Astra was a horrible friend. Like, that was different. And then she like goes off and forgets all about her for like 2 books. And then she's like, oh yeah, my best friend that I knew for 18 years of my life. Like,
yeah.
She was a horrible friend.
Like, but Cal's my family. Mara's your family too, girl.
That's true. Yeah. To be fair,
like,
she was.
She just kind of left her behind, like, really quickly.
I mean, she was kind of fighting
her
for her life.
She had a little bit going on.
She had a little busy. Tiny bit happening, you know, no big deal. So, I know.
A lot going on.
I know that you, for anybody who doesn't know, you do have a little like rom-com short story that is available. What is it like jumping from something like high fantasy to something that's like a contemporary rom-com? Is it a hard transition to make, or is it just something like, it's a story, I'm gonna write it?
It's a lot different to write, but the main two genres I read are fantasy and romance.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for me, it's very in line with my interests. And one of my works in progress is a rom-com along that line. It's about halfway through writing it. I just, that's another thing, if I could just focus on it. I really do like writing those, but they're very different because they're very happy. There's not a lot of death and as many tragic backstories and like
how do I function
in
this?
Very different happiness? Writing process. Yeah, like I'm
I
half
don't kill
no
anybody. What?
Like,
what?
They're,
no
they're
one
happy.
Dies? Oh my god!
No major wounds. No one's even on a deathbed. Like,
who are you?
Actually, that's not true. One of them does have dead. One has dead parents. But.
You gotta stay true to yourself, okay?
You know, we gotta have a little bit of a tragic backstory.
Oh my god.
Oh,
it's a
man.
Very different writing process. There is a lot less world building too, which is kind of it's easier but also harder, because then I have to make sure, because like when you're making up your own world, it's like, well, that
you can
magic.
Do whatever you want,
this is my way. Rules.
But when you're in real life, like, you can't just have people healing themselves, like, you actually,
that's true, you have to follow like
world
rules.
Yeah.
Right,
so they're gross. Very different to write, but my interests align with both of them.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So, you know, we have to ask the question, because we always ask the question, fictional boyfriends, current.
I came prepared this time.
Hey!
So I'm going to go with 4 because they're all in one book. It's a Why Choose book.
Okay, we just had a conversation about Why Choose books, and I'm so excited for this because I have been on a Why Choose kick and I love it.
Okay, well, then you have to read this book. Okay, it's called Beauty's Beast by Alex Hansen. I'm like 90% sure that's correct. It's Beauty's Beast, and it has a non-binary main character, Beauty, who is gender fluid and switches between the names Evangeline, Eve, and Evan. And they get like thrown out of their village to the monsters, which are like gargoyles. And in order to break their curse, they have to like become mates. Like, and so my fictional boyfriends are all four of them.
Okay, so
they're all amazing.
We're gonna have to end the interview now. I gotta go start reading.
it's a thick book. It's a thick book. It's right there. I don't know if you can really see it. But it's like, no joke, like 800 pages or something like that.
Holy shit.
Woo! And for a limited time, it is on KU, but it's going to be coming off of KU in the near future.
Okay, so I really do need to go, guys.
Yeah, you need to go now.
Oh, I love that. I love that you came prepared. Like, you knew.
I know.
I was like, I know they're going to ask the question. So,
all right, so you know what's next then. You know what the next question is. It's what are you reading? What are you watching? What do you recommend? Tell us. Tell us all the goods.
Well, right now I'm mostly reading fan fiction because I am 4 books away from finishing my Goodreads challenge. So obviously my brain shut down and refuses to read any actual books.
Fair.
But prior to that, I was reading mostly like YA horror-ish type books. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have a copy of The Spirit Bears Its Teeth. That was supposed to be my next read, and I have read the first page about 5 times. And I just, my brain keeps shutting down. So I've just been reading random fan fiction, waiting for my brain to get back in gear.
Yeah.
My palate cleansers are the cartoon cover romances. When I'm like, high fantasy, epic saga, this, and then it's like, I just need a little silly little rom-com to calm everything
down. I did recently read My Roommate is a Vampire, which I figured was either going to be really stupid or really cute. And that book was like 90% fluff. It was so fluffy and it was just nice and light, like it was just perfect for my mood when I read it.
Yeah, I read that too and I was like, you know what, this is weird but we'll go with it.
Yeah, this is
I figured
fine.
It was either just gonna be like stupid and just like what, but it ended up being a lot better than I thought it would be.
I found myself questioning these vampires because are they all this stupid? Like, what is happening? I was just
look, I need you to read Crave. Speaking of vampires.
I've read Crave.
She's not read Crave.
No, I've read there. Crave. It's a commitment, it's okay? It's a commitment.
Like a commitment, but it's not really. The font is
It in a week, which means you could read it in a day.
Yeah, I got the first book and like I got a physical copy. I was like, I'm not buying this whole series. It's gonna be Twilight. And I read it and I was like, I need it. So I bought the next book, like the next physical copy, and I couldn't even wait for the next day. So I also bought the ebook and I read like all 3 of the first books, because when I first started reading it, those were the only ones out. I read the first 3 books before the second book even had arrived via Prime.
See, I had unfair, I won't call it advantage, but I had to stop taking allergy meds for testing. And so I could not go outside. My husband was out of town and I was literally stuck at home all weekend. It was like, I would just read Crave and scratch. And then I would open up the next book and it was like, I'm itching and reading. I did nothing but read or
listen. I haven't read the last couple books just because like I read all of those and I need to finish.
What's
it?
The purple
like, I
one?
Need to like recap. Charm.
You read that one?
No. I have it. I own it.
Hold on. I'm going to Google it.
Like, I need to kind of refresh my brain on what happened because not everyone puts recaps in their books.
I know.
Like, I need to refresh.
That's the best one. It is.
I want to read it. But, like, I almost feel like I need to reread the series and kind of like lead into it. So, I think I'm going to do that like after I have met my reading goal for the year. And then I can just kind of focus on like rereads and just kind of.
So, you say you've read the first 3 or the first 4?
The first. 3.5.
So, you know, there was like a missing time in somebody's memories.
Yeah. Yeah.
This book is those memories. This book is that period.
Yeah, I know. And I was like really excited for it. But like, I forget what happened. I was like halfway through the fourth book and like
the
I
mood
just
changed and you're like
got interrupted. Yeah. And like I just never made it back to it. And then when I tried to go back and start in the middle of the book, I could not remember.
You're like, what is happening?
So I just need to start over and work my way back through it and just like reread the entire thing.
When you get to Charm, let me know. I don't know. I didn't tell you this. I messaged Megan, Snow White and Seven Chapters, and I was like, I feel like we're friends-in-law through Amber, and I know that you love Crave, and so I'm going to just flood you with my thoughts. And she was like, I live for this, please.
She has a quote on the back of my fourth book.
I love it. She was awesome. She was so cool. Yeah. She was like, here for it.
And Megan's the quote
like
on the back
of
my fourth book.
I love it.
Love her. Love her. She was awesome.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. She's good people.
Yeah. She seems
all right.
Like it.
Everybody, the time has come. The Fire and Starlight saga is coming to an end.
Stop
and
saying mean things.
Now is the perfect time to buy every single book and novella so that you're prepared.
And piece of art.
And art.
Swag.
And all
of
the
above. All the
good stuff. You're going to go to amberdlewis.com. You're going to add everything to cart. And then you're going to use code FANGIRL10. And you'll get 10% off. And then
and if you order directly from me, you get goodies. I throw prints and stickers and bookmarks and all of that in with every order. Like you get books plus stuff.
So hey. Now is the perfect time. And plus if you pre-order any of The Stars Amid the Storm, it's either of them, right? Hardback or paperback, you have the chance to get an upgrade to the swag box, which I guarantee will be amazing. Because they're always amazing.
And so, we're leading into the holidays. So if you already have the books, but you know somebody who might like them, go shopping. Hey.
And I do have gift cards available on my website too. So like
See?
If you want to buy
Hey, that's card, cool.
Give it someone, they can buy their own book.
Look at that. It's all the things are there. It's the perfect place to shop. It's your one-stop shop for all the goodies. So go do that. I mean, if you've been listening to us this long and you still haven't read the Fire and Starlight saga, I don't think you actually love us.
I feel like I probably started screaming about it on like the first or second episode for real. Like literally the lifetime of the podcast, I've been screaming and you've been screaming.
Pretty sure. Yeah. So I just, what are you waiting for, guys? Now is the perfect time. You could binge read all of it next month. Just order it all now and you'll be prepared. Thank you, Amber. We love having you here.
Wait. You have to tell her the thing. Because
she already knows the thing.
Yeah, but still, because the Fire and Starlight saga is coming to a close, doesn't mean you get out of having to
saying
talk to
the
us.
Thing. Saying the thing. Yeah. Okay. Well, Amber, as you well know, now that you have been on the podcast, you are legally obligated to come back for every single release that you ever have from now until the end of time. This is a binding contract. There is no way out of it. Nope. Don't ask a lawyer because
not even
they don't know anything.
We enforce it with these hands.
I'm stuck.
Oh no, how terrible for you.
Especially this next high fantasy or the return to the Fire and Starlight. Or I'll take all of it.
All
rom-com, whatever. Just,
all the things. We love
my
having you here.
Oh, yes, always.
Always.
I like,
whenever you want to come. Whenever you want
to
come.
Yeah,
hang
see,
out,
you don't even have to have something releasing. You can just tell us you want to come talk and we'll
if it's a Thursday night,
I think I should be on with some of the other big authors.
Hey, there you go.
If you're bored on Thursday night, just be like, hey guys, I'm gonna log on tonight. Who are we talking to? What's going on? Like, we're ready. We're here for it.
Now that I know how the link works.
Now you know all our secrets.
Start randomly popping into your meeting.
Hello. Podcast ferrying you today.
A literal intruder alert.
That would be so freaking funny, though. Like, not even joking. I would probably die.
I'm just going to crash your interviews.
Yes. Good. I dare you. I triple dog dare you.
Yeah, my anxiety is way too high for that. Like, Like, I messaged Karen earlier. I'm like, it's tonight, right? Like, double checking.
What's really
I still do that.
Sure.
We still have a podcast, right?
Yeah, this it still exists. Still recording. What's happening? Who are we talking to this week?
Yeah.
Thank you for hanging out with us. This is so much fun.
Yes, thank you.
Been a blast. This series.
We love this.
We love you. We love the series. And we love whatever comes next. We're so excited to see what comes next, even as we are sad to say goodbye to these characters.
You got Amber D. Lewis fangirls for life here.
Forever. We love you.
Well, at least I have you too.
Yes.
You have a whole
always.
Facebook group.
What's that TikTok sound? If she's got a million fans, I'm one of them. If she's got one fan, it's me. If she's got no fans, I'm dead.
Like, that's
for
that's
real.
Us.
Well, yeah,
so you gotta hang on because can't have my fan base disappear.
It won't.
No,
trust me, it will not.
It's only
we will
going
not let it.
To grow from here.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with us. It's been a blast. We're gonna let you go, but we can't wait till the next time.
we'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
I freaking love her so much.
I could die from it.
Yeah. You guys, I'm not kidding. If you have been following this podcast for any length of time and you have not already read or ordered the Fire and Starlight Saga, what are you
I'm
doing?
Feeling so disrespected.
Do you hate us?
Do you hate yourself?
Do you hate yourself? Why would you deny yourself this joy?
You shouldn't.
You shouldn't. It's excellent. It's wonderful. And honestly, if you are...
I should have brought them up, but they're all up there.
The only way that I will accept that you have been following the podcast and not have read or bought these books is that you are waiting for the last one to binge read them all.
Yeah, I can handle that.
Anything else, I just feel so disrespected.
Yeah, it's rude. Selfish. It's rude. Go buy it now to get back on our good side.
And realistically, you're really just hurting yourself. You're denying yourself joy.
Don't just read books that are traditionally published. You are doing yourself a disservice by not reading self-published authors.
Yes.
They are just as good, oftentimes better than traditionally published authors. And I will go on record and say that. I have read some books that are like, I cannot believe that this was published.
Yep.
And I don't mean that to be mean because somebody put a lot of work into it and I get that. But I can't believe I've read this. It's not traditionally published and available to the masses, but this is. I don't get it.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I agree. So get on it. And like I said, you could get it at a discount. Amber D. Lewis. AmberDLewis.com. Code is fangirl10. Use it. Get all the things. And like Amber said, she throws in extra goodies.
Girl math, you're basically getting all of this stuff for free. Once you add the free goodies, the coupon code, I mean, trophies for your shelf.
Exactly. Okay, it is time for announcements. Okay, so technically we have an announcement. Next week is the last episode of the season.
Yeah, the Candy Awards.
The Candy Awards.
I got some work to do this weekend.
Yeah, I'm like, it's real stressful because now we have to make decisions. I would like to preface this by saying everybody should know that Chloe Gong came out with 3 books this year. So we can all assume that they're number one, but I'm going to make a list of other
books. You got to make it fair
I'm going to make a list of 3, but just know.
Chloe books are number one.
Chloe's there. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't publish 3 books. It's not my fault. She published 3 books in a year. Okay. Not my fault.
That's Chloe's fault.
So yes. The other thing, and I don't know if Mandy knows this, but if you all have been listening to the podcast, you've heard us talk about our friend Angie. 2 very exciting things just happened. She got married, first of all. So
what?
Congratulations.
No, just kidding. I do know that.
You know.
Congratulations, Angie. Yeah,
congratulations.
That one I know.
We love y'all. The second thing is that she is the new official proofreader of the Lehigh Valley Voice, which is a publication
that
promotes local businesses and voices in their community.
Very nice. Nice.
So we just wanted to give her a shout out because she has been the best since day one.
Day one since day one.
And she has no idea that I'm saying this. And so she always tells me that she always tells me that she like gets little flutters whenever we mention our friend Angie. So you get
we
a whole section.
Ride so hard for Angie. Yeah.
We love her so much. So congratulations on the marriage. Congratulations Yay. On the new position. We're so happy for you.
Yay.
And that is not the extent of our announcement.
I was going to say, I have an announcement.
Yeah.
Or we have an announcement.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have a cover reveal for Alana Ferguson this yes. week. Last week now for you guys. But the Game yes. Changer cover is out. It's on both of our Instagrams. It's on Lana's Instagram.
It's
everywhere.
On a lot of Instagrams.
Yeah, the reveal was today for us.
It is so beautiful.
Let me pull up the list of tropes because there are two that have me sold.
Oh, I already know.
Yeah. There's brother's best friend, hockey romance, slow burn, which is all I need. Spicy, she calls him cupcake. My other favorite, no third act breakup. And friends to lovers. So I love all of the above, but particularly the slow burn with no third act breakup. I'm here for it.
Yep. We are so excited for this. Like Mandy said, not exactly a sports girly. And I am a sports girly, but not a hockey.
I'm a Lana Ferguson girly.
But yes, we are Lana Ferguson girlies for life. So if you haven't seen the cover yet, go literally anywhere on Instagram and you'll probably see it. Honestly.
You're going to find it.
Because yeah. it's everywhere and it's beautiful and it's amazing and we love it.
Yeah.
And even though next week is our last episode for the season, stay tuned because perhaps things will be happening over the break.
Yep.
I'm just throwing that out there. We have absolutely nothing planned.
Let me just put my fingers, cross my fingers behind
as of
back.
Right now.
Nothing planned.
Absolutely nothing.
In November especially.
I don't know what could possibly
not multiple things going on.
I absolutely am not thinking of three specific things off the top of my head. Not at all. Totally nope. not. So just, you know, keep an eye on the socials.
Our perhaps. Social media.
Maybe. Speaking of which, I guess it's time for a spiel.
I guess so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. And if you are subscribed, you may or may not get some surprises during the break. I don't know. No clue whatsoever. You can also follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. Visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream the episodes as well as read our blog. So many things on the blog. So many things on the blog. So many books to read. You can subscribe to our Patreon, theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon. You'll get early access to all new podcast episodes, as well as video episodes, depending on your tier. You'll get some early sneak peek surprises as to some things that may or may not be happening, some reveals that may or may not be happening. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a mystery.
I'm just a baby.
I don't know what's happening. But if you would like to show some support of the podcast while walking around in real life, you can head over to our merch store and grab some merch. We got some cute stuff there.
theincoherentfangirl.com/shop.
And you can do some shopping. Like Mandy said earlier, the holidays are coming up.
It's time to get shopping there,
it's
pal.
It's time to get shopping. And we got some cute stuff. And it would be really cool if you went and bought some stuff. We would love that. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Please and thank you. And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas, you just want to tell us that we're pretty, we will accept these things in our inbox. theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love, love, love hearing from y'all. And one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you are listening to us on. Please give us your words.
We want to hear your words, please.
We love words. I promise.
If you couldn't tell.
Yeah. It's not like we read constantly all the time. She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you have followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you're going to want to start doing some holiday shopping, some self-care. Visit our internet besties. They've got some great stuff. I'm just saying. Head on over to herecomesthenerd.com. You can use code FANGIRL and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Then, of course, you're going to want some books and bookish boxes to go with your art. So head over to onceuponabookclub.com. We have two codes for you to use. No, they do not stack, but you can pick one. We don't care. We love you so much for using either one of them. So use either code Karen10 or Mandy10 for 10% off. Just make sure you spell Karen the right way. There's no E in Karen.
I'm a cool Karen. And also, this is something I just remembered, but Once Upon a Book Club was nominated as a USA Today Top 10 book subscription box. So yay for them. We're so happy for them. If you want to go look it up and vote, you're able to vote once a day until November 14th. We would love that as well. They're great. And once you have done that, you've done some shopping at Here Comes the Nerd, you've done some shopping at Once Upon a Book Club, you're going to want something to cozy up with during the holidays. Because honestly, what's better than a cozy cup of tea to snuggle up with a book and some art? Head on over to entrancingelixirs.com. You're going to use code FANGIRLTEA and you'll get 10% off your order. But please remember, unlike Karen, there was no I in Fangirl. It's FANGRLTEA.
And of course, you know her. You better freaking love her or you're not invited to the club. Amber D. Lewis, you just heard from her. You're not going to stop hearing about her from us because we are fangirls for life. Head over to amberdlewis.com, add everything to cart, and use code FANGIRL10 to get 10% off. I mean, it's basically free. She adds freebies. You get a discount. What more could you want?
Exactly. Girl math. Come on.
Yeah. Duh.
And once you have finished supporting us, you've finished supporting our besties, done some self-care, I suppose it's time to give some love to the show husband.
Look, I've been on a few episodes of The Paranormal Mind recently, and I may or may not ask the searchers who their fictional boyfriends of the week are. So...
stay tuned.
Once you finish this episode, head over wherever you're listening to and find The Paranormal Mind. I don't know if it's this week's episode or next week's, where I definitely ask about fictional boyfriends of the week and get asked if I would leave the show husband for Harry Styles, to which I say no. I even tell him I would not leave him for Aaron Warner. And we know how monumental that is.
This is a big deal.
I went on the record.
I suppose we do love the show husband then.
Yeah. I also, in one of the episodes, set the record straight on who calls him stupid, and that is no one. So I got to clear the air for myself. So yeah, find The Paranormal Mind wherever you're listening to podcasts. You can go to searchersbelieve.com and use code FANGIRL10 for 10% off. We finally, this past weekend, sat down and did the fall merch. There is the coolest sweatshirt coming. And some t-shirt designs too, all of which were designed by yours truly. So yeah, super cool Searchers merch is coming. And if you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off.
Yay. And please remember, as we enter the holiday season, that we will lie for you.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is trying to police your spending, congratulations.
Tell them to suck a butt, but then.
That first. But also you can let them know that you want to give away.
Yeah. Congratulations, bestie. We just deleted it off of our social media because we thought it might be confusing for people. Like, can I still enter this when it's been done? But like, you totally won it.
Mm-hmm. We can show proof.
Yeah. Just DM us. We got you. Got you, fam.
And that was the incoherent
fan girl.
Thanks we love for you. Listening. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.